Thank you for listening to the ALC Daily Podcast. Join us as we dive deep into personal stories, gain wisdom from Scripture, and be inspired by amazing guest interviews. Our goal is simple: to help you deepen your personal walk with Christ. At ALC, we believe that every person needs community that leads to encounters that cause growth. This podcast is one of the ways that we strive to help you become the hands and feet of Jesus in your everyday lives. Good morning and welcome to the ALC Daily Podcast. My name is Pastor Jared Pollard.
And I'm Pastor Kenzie Joyner.
This week we're going to be talking about beautiful feet that bring our sinful world to Jesus. Do you got pretty feet?
No.
I don't either.
With shoes on.
With shoes on. They look good with the shoes on. So it all depends on what you got going. Exactly. What are you wearing right now? I can't see you.
Those are my work boots.
Wow. Those aren't very pretty.
No, they're no worse than my feet.
They're pretty useful. So beautiful feet. We won't talk about everybody's feet on here. It might get weird pretty quick.
Yeah.
But before we get into talking about the feet that we do want to talk about, let's do an ALC recommends. This week we are recommending our missions in May offering and asking everyone to pray about what the Lord would lead you to give, probably sacrificially. I don't think the Lord has ever asked me to give something that wasn't sacrificial, but the goal for us is that we're going to raise a total of $45,000 in the month of May. Yes. It is a big faith goal, but we believe that as a church, we can rally together and accomplish this. $30,000 of that will be going to the Surge Missions Project, who in the year of 2023 planted 2,800 churches.
Jeez.
Wow.
2,800.
And they have a crazy, crazy retention rate, like north of 70%. I can't think of any other missions organization that could say that 70% of the churches that they plant actually take and work.
Yeah.
Like That's good. Pretty impressive.
That's really good.
And then, so 30,000 of that will be going to Surge, which is also who we do short-term mission trips through. We partner with Surge churches. And then 15,000 of that will be specifically for the short-term missions that we here at Abundant Life Church do. And what we've done in the past, we've done pastors' trainings. I think we've done almost 1,000 pastors that we have done trainings for overseas. Yeah. And then I say overseas in Central America and the Caribbean is most of the time where we're going. And then we've seen who knows how many people healed.
Healing, salvation.
Who knows how many people saved, how many people delivered. And then we also have been doing medical clinics. So very impactful. That gets a lot of people into the door because medical care for them just isn't very good. And so we don't just go and give medicine. We give medicine kind of as the hook to get people there. And then it gives us an opportunity to pray with them, pray for healing, pray for salvation, pray for deliverance, and really see what the Lord is going to do.
Right.
Then it benefits the churches that are in that area. And then often churches actually get planted while we're there.
So that's right.
It's pretty amazing. That was my long spiel for how good missions in May is. Today, this week, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, and we're just going to go verse by verse.
Sweet.
Can you read that first verse
for us? I
got
the first one.
Here we go.
Romans 10, 13, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Who?
Everyone.
Are you sure?
I think it says everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right?
Yeah. Probably.
Not maybe.
But they will be. They will be saved.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I bet everyone means everyone in the Greek, too. Do you think
that's what it means.
That's probably what it talks about. And that I saw a reel the other day, and it was a guy making fun of the quote-unquote stereotypical megachurch pastor, and he getting up there and is like, "All means all." And he goes through this whole big spiel. We won't do the whole big spiel. But everyone means everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the number one, primary, most important reason that we give and go for missions.
Yeah.
So that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Even in Cuba. Cuba's the nation that I've been to the most times.
Mm.
I've been to Honduras twice and Cuba four times, I believe.
Awesome.
But even in Cuba, And even in Honduras, where you would think, man, we've been doing a lot of missions. There are a lot of churches. There's a lot of growth that is going on. Even in those areas, there are people who have never heard of Jesus.
Wow. Yeah.
That's Isn't true. That wild?
It is.
Or maybe they've heard the name, but they don't, like, you know, it's a curse word. So. Yeah.
They've never been exposed to who Jesus
they
is.
They don't know who Jesus is. And that's just mind-blowing because, you know, we live in the buckle of the Bible Belt. There are places in the United States where there are people who have never heard the name gospel. Of Jesus. They don't know what it's about.
Yeah, they don't know the gospel.
Maybe they've heard it in their favorite rap song as a derogatory term, but they don't know. They don't know what it is. They don't know how it can impact them. And so what we need to do is we need to let this verse, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, be our inspiration to give and to go.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what it needs to be. I mean, think about, Kenzie, what was your life before you knew the Lord?
That was terrible. Yeah.
What was it like? Because you came to the Lord a little bit later in life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I went to church as a kid some, and I even got baptized before I think I was 13 at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I had, God was pulling on my heart already, but my life didn't involve Jesus every day. And it didn't involve people that would, you know, show me who Jesus was, besides my mom. But in her life, it was, you know, it was very small as well, too. Mm-hmm. And so my life was, like I said, it was just all about my sinful nature, seeking out what pleasure there is in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, the worst thing I could do was the most fun thing.
Yeah.
You know, that was my teenage years. Like, how bad can I be? How much can I get away with, essentially? Mm. And, you know, none of that gives you purpose. None of that gives you meaning. Mm. And so it's like, I knew that there was a God, and I knew there was something about Jesus that was going to change my life.
Yeah.
I just hadn't seen it in front of me. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen anyone that was changed by the gospel. Mm. And if they were, they didn't share it with me.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, I knew what church was like, and I always felt good when I was at church, but I never had anything to take home with me.
Yeah. So what was the moment of change?
The moment of change was in a church. The first moment of change was in a church where I recognized who Jesus was. Mm. And I recognized that he was, my life could change if I committed myself to him.
Yeah.
And so I decided that I'm going to seek after Jesus rather than seek after someone to show me Jesus. Mm. Like, I had to get in his word myself. I had to get around people that were seeking him themselves. And I recognized that my life can change here, but my eternity can change as well. Mm. And I think that's where a lot of us come to first is, well, yeah, life here is going to be hard no matter what, but my eternity is different.
Yeah.
And so I can live, like we talked about in the recent sermon, that my eternity can, my focus on eternity and my realization that my eternity is set should affect my life here.
Yeah.
I'm living from a place, from an identity of eternity rather than this temporary.
That's good.
You know, emptiness or like I said, trying to find something that gives me life and purpose instead of living from this place that Jesus is the purpose and he is the life. And so that empowered me to say, I can find people that need this too. Mm. Like, once I realized the difference in my life and the difference of when this life ends, I was like, other people need to know about this.
Yeah.
And so that's what changed for me.
Yeah. Man, this is going to be a callback for me because I've not been a youth pastor in a while. But did you ever play Amoeba?
I've played it, yeah.
So
yeah.
What if we decided to view our Christian walk like we were playing Amoeba?
Yeah.
If you don't know what Amoeba is, it's a form of tag. It starts with one person, and people are trying to get away from the Amoeba.
Yeah, they're running.
Do you think people are running from the Lord?
Oh yeah.
So you got this game where people are running from the Amoeba, but once you get tagged, you are now a part of the Amoeba.
You have to stick with the Amoeba.
And you got
to
stick together.
And now you're grabbing other people
trying to tag them in, and then eventually what happens is you get this big old group of people holding hands running around.
Running after the last few.
Running after those last few. And so that sounds a little aggressive, but maybe
the
kingdom might be a little aggressive. And so
that's right.
But what if we lived our Christian faith that way?
Yeah.
I think most of the time, the reason that we don't succeed is because we are saved. Mm. So I'm not questioning, you know, people have their encounter with the Lord. And so as an individual, and I'm going to talk about myself personally here, even as a pastor, I personally am confident in my salvation. I see the Lord working in my life all the time. But if I don't operate as the amoeba,
mm-hmm.
then I'm not really living to pull people in.
No.
To capture their hearts in a way that they see the Lord and what he can do for them and the salvation that's available. And so I think most of the time, you know, if our life feels like it's lacking purpose, it's because it is.
Yeah. instead of an amoeba that's trying to grow itself, mm-hmm. we get in a bubble
mm-hmm.
and we just isolate yeah. ourselves in this Christian
yeah.
world and lifestyle. And
yeah.
we forget that there's people outside the bubble
that's right.
that need to be attached.
That's right. And so what happens is if you've called on the name of the Lord for salvation yourself, you've got one question left. What will you do to help others call on the name of the Lord like you did?
Mm.
And I think the key thing is be open for any opportunity in front of you and remember that you are not alone.
Yeah.
You're not alone. And I think that's most of the time what happens is we get this fear of rejection and isolation that we're on our own out here. Even if you're by yourself physically, you've got the Holy Spirit with you
right.
that can empower you. And it's in our weakness that his strength is made perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm given an opportunity as a pastor, I still get nervous.
Yeah, me too.
And I can remember, man, the Holy Spirit is with me right now. And I might feel like I'm fumbling over my words, but I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit because I can't save this person.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit interacting with them can.
Yeah, he's the one that draws them to the Lord.
That's it.
And we are just the body that he uses.
That's right. So what will you do to help others call on the name of the Lord like you did? Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. You can join us on Sundays at our South Campus at 9:30 and 11 a.m. and at our New Grain Campus at 11 a.m. For more information about ALC and our small groups, please visit our website at abundant.us.